Duffy, you're just shaking your head over, aren't you? Just shaking your head over, brother. It's amazing. It's amazing. I love it when I get a politically correct answer. It's amazing. Yesterday, I had the wonderful opportunity. I had some things to do. Went down south there to Fredericksburg. Got some stuff done. Back over the condo, over in Tivoli Condominiums. I had prepared to go out and play golf. I know that's very shocking to you, but everybody thinks all Saturday afternoon I'm preparing my sermons, but those of you been there more than two Sundays realize that most likely I'm not. And time was running tight, so instead of doing that, I tried to work in, and it just wasn't going to work. You know how some things just don't work? You're timing like it, playing this and that. I left and went over to a driving range over on Braddock Road. Got my large bucket of senior rate golf balls. I know that's shocking to you also. And prepared because I'm terrible. I never go practice on the game. I always like to just go play, practice some on the course, but I never get that bucket of balls and practice. And I'm kind of like, I'd rather be out playing because it's beautiful here. I've got this just I hit the first ball, and then I hear, will someone please call 911 for my father? A gentleman had been there and hit balls, 87 years old. He was there with his daughter. He'd sat back down, and he'd kind of fallen back against the wall. And it is amazing to me, the more I understand about where God wants you to be. And it's amazing to me how kind, how warm and generous people can be. Immediately, the guys, and trust me, the guys that were standing out front, I guess that's the time when all the senior guys go out there and hit. I mean, you could have sold tons of Grecian formula on this line over there. First guy there had his phone out like that, and we go, and we got him, and we just kind of set him back a little bit. And as the call was being made, one of the guys says, no, I'm going to go out to the front to help get the... And come to find out that Milton, 87 years, and just within moments, he started to respond. Come to find out that his daughter... they lost their mom back in June. And so the emotions were there. But God just brought a calmness. And as we started to talk a little bit, and we got him, and he was responding more, and he was kind of reached out and grabbed a hand there, and you could tell by the grip of the hand that he was doing better just by each minute. He was wearing a Washington Redskins cap. And finally we got him talking, got him responding back and forth. We both came to that this golf may be a little strenuous. He may have to go back to football instead of doing this. And then he started to kind of tell me, he says, you know, he says, it's the funniest thing as he started to breathe better and respond better, and we were talking, and the folks on the phone were advising us, and which I didn't know, don't give any liquids, you know, different. He says, you know, I work for the fire department, and so many times I have been out on the visit that they are coming to get me on. And everything just kind of worked out. It was so moving to see so many people there, and those guys just kind of rally around, and just the warmth and the kindness, anything you could do. And let me tell you, folks, those EMTs were there. They were top-notch. I mean, their attitudes were just, boom, right on. And they were positive. And he said, no, I'm better. I don't want to, you know, and just smiled. And he said, you know, this is my, he had to get that, this is my daughter's doing, you know. And the MTME says, and sir, that's why you have a daughter like that, that cares and loves for you so much that we're going to take you in for a little ride and we're going to check you out. It wasn't a time where you gave out cards or made any invites or it's just God took care of every little detail. And you could just really tell as going out that a little episode had been avoided there. And it was amazing to me about how everything you read in this book that I have open in front of me, you can study it. You can hide this scripture away in your heart. But if you don't apply it, it means nothing. In the Old Testament, starting way back, those first five books of the Pentateuch, over the fifth one being Deuteronomy in the 28th chapter. For just a couple minutes, I want to share with you. The writer here, Moses, he was writing words of encouragement to the followers that God had given him. And remember, most of the people that he was writing to here and most of the people that he was speaking to here and sharing with, they hadn't been a part of all the miracles that God had performed back in Egypt before the Exodus. Because how long did they wander? Miss Ruby's not here, is she? Good. I can ask this question without her jumping up and I know. So how long did they wander out there? Back in those days, they didn't last too long on like that. So these people, a lot of them didn't know. So the writer here wanted to give words of encouragement about applying what promises God had given them. 28th chapter, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations on the earth. And the second verse, which I love, the second verse states, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I'm going to repeat that. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The third, he talks about all these blessings. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field or the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body and fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies. In the seventh verse, I want you to hear this. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouse and all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The ninth verse, the Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Allow us to just open our minds and hearts for that special truth you have for each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen, amen. And flee before these seven ways, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee. The ninth, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. What did Matt sing so beautifully? Walk with me, walk with me, walk with me? How do I take everything that I have learned? How do I take the desire I have in my heart to be closer to God? How do I take the principles that I learn in this book? How do I take the things that I see all around me, and simply apply them in my life? Walk with thee. Walk with thee. First of all, I got to back up here. I got to go to that, and I love this little phrase here. It says in the second verse, if thou shall hearken unto the voice of God. Hearken. How many use in your natural speech before you came to church today? Hearken. I can understand Wayne saying to Pat, dear, they'll probably sing happy birthday and anniversary, so hearken, hearken with me and come to church today as we can go. I don't believe I heard that. I don't believe it was spoken in that manner. When I have these guys that work with me over on the job, well, let's put up the ladders and let's hearken over to the roof that we shall tear off, you know. Don't believe you hear that. So the question is what is this term, hearken? So, I got you a definition. Hearken. To listen, to lend the ear, to give heed to what is uttered. To give heed to what is uttered. To hear with obedience or compliance. To hear with obedience or compliance. To hear by listening, to hear with attention. Hearken. We hear so many things. How much stuff do you hear in a day? I know I have no idea what has caused this union in the back there for 50 years. I don't know what's caused this union here between Frank and Gene for 62, is it? 62? Oh my goodness. I heard one time, I said that it is said that on average, we men speak about 25,000 words, it says, sometimes on a day. Women, this is where everybody kind of goes their own direction, see? I heard a man say one time, he read this, he says, men speak about 25,000, women have tendency to speak about 30,000 words in a day. This is one. He says, the problem is, when I get home, I'm out of words, and she still has 5,000 left to say. I don't know how it works out for you, but I think when people have been married 50 years, 62 years, you ought to say, praise God, amen, amen. When I read this, first of all, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You got to listen to his voice in your life. All the things that you hear, and we hear so much. I've never seen a time. I actually thought I would never live to see such a time when there is so much information that goes on all the time. How many channels on that television? How many hundreds of channels on that television? You simply click the, I don't hear, there's nothing to watch. There's nothing to watch. How many times, I had no idea, so many news stations, so many talk stations out there, so much information given over the internet. I was amazed about the information and how quickly it comes to us news-wise. There are so many things that we hear. But the most important thing that you can hear in your life is the voice of the Lord thy God. When he speaks and lays something upon your heart, something for you to do, someone you should call, somebody you should share with, something you ought to just, God said, do it. And then, at the end of the scripture, and walk in his ways. You got to put it to use. You got to put it to use. since Mr. Duffy gave us a compliment that we were amazing today, I'll use another golf illustration that possibly he'll relate to. I'm glad you're here. I use illustrations a lot of times. You know, Matt, Al, they don't understand. Different generations. Just what's he talking about? Is he ever going to get in the 21st century? You know. It is said the hardest thing for a golfer to do is to take the game that he is practicing on the driving range and take it to the course. Okay. All that means is there are many people when you're standing on that driving range and they'll just hit the ball super. They're right in the middle of the club face, boom, got perfect balance. But then they go out in that first tee. It's hard to take the things that you are practicing and to apply them in your life. Oh, it's easy to be, it's easy to do that church thing on Sunday morning, isn't it? It's easy to walk from Mount Calvary. Everybody likes you. Everybody just graces you. They get, oh, good to see you. Good to see you. Oh, it's just lovely. Praise God. I'm glad I'm here. Go around that corner. Somebody cuts you off. I wish you'd have preached on hell because I got one here I want to talk to. It's hard to take what you hear on a Sunday morning and place it into your everyday life. But that's what he expects us to do. You got to take your driving range game here and you got to take it out there on the golf course in life. You have to apply. And how do you do that? You get yourself prepared right here. You get into this word. You can't fool God. You can't fool God. He knows you. You got to get this word. You got to place it within your heart. You have to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And then you got to make a decision to walk in his ways. I like being prepared. I love this little, somebody gave me a book, and in reading through it, this little illustration, I enjoy it. I've used it, and I'll continue to use it. It's entitled, He Sleeps in a Storm. He sleeps in a storm. There was a farmer that needed help. And as the worker came to him, he gave him a letter of recommendation. And in this letter of recommendation simply stated that he sleeps in a storm. The farmer didn't understand, but he was so hurting for help, he just hired the guy because I got to have some help. Some weeks later, a great storm came up. And that farmer yelled out to his brand new helper, who was sound asleep in the middle of the worst storm it had. And this farmer, he ran out. He ran to the barn. And to his amazement, he saw that all the animals were secure with plenty of feed. Then he ran out in the field and he saw that the bales of wheat had been bound and all wrapped up. Plastic covered. He ran to the silo and the doors were latched and all the grain there is nice and dry. And then he understood in his heart of hearts and in his mind, he sleeps in a storm. If you don't have this in your heart, and if you're not trying to apply this in your life on a day-to-day walk, it's pretty hard to be secure in a storm. You got to have something inside. The writer finishes this with a wonderful little paragraph. He says, "My friends, if we will simply tend to the things that are important in life, if we are right with those we love, and behave in line with our faith, our lives will not be cursed with the aching throb of unfulfilled business. Our words will always be sincere, our embraces will be tight. We will never wallow in the agony of I could have or I should have. we can sleep in a storm. And when it's time, our goodbyes will be complete. This is a very little simple sermon. Just kind of amazed me yesterday how God could take care of all the little details in your life. It's amazing to me that things that you think are so important, God has a way of prioritizing things in your life if you'll simply listen to His voice. We're very blessed here at Mount Calvary. So richly blessed. And I thank God for it. Because I see a group of folks that don't have it all right all the time. Amen, amen, amen. And if you think you do, then maybe I need to know you a little better. Because you can help train me. But I see people that are simply trying to walk closer to the Master. Trying to do the things that God lays upon our hearts. Trying to bring glory unto His name. And I believe that's what He's called us to do. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in Your house. God, You've just blessed us today. God, so many things in our life we have questions about. We don't understand all the pieces. We don't understand when in the midst of it. But God, we know that You're at the helm, that You want nothing but the best for us. So God, challenge us to hearken to Your voice and to walk in Your ways. Allow us to be ready. Allow us to be willing. Allow us to be faithful in what You put a place upon our hearts. God, we thank You for the service today. We thank You for all the smiling faces. We thank You for the unions that we celebrated, for the birthdays that we celebrated, God. But most of all, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for giving us this opportunity to be here today. Be with all the prayer requests again. And God, give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building so that we can share the love that we felt today through our walk with You. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Stand to your feet if you're able. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. God bless you.